You know, I love the Christmas season, and some things happen every single year. There was a pastor who moved to a town, and he found out that the trash collectors every year would get a few bucks from every single citizen. You know, it was just something that everybody did. And so some of them would start putting little notices, because they appreciated that. They put little notices on the garbage cans when they went around. Season's greetings, you know, that was nice. Well, one year, this new pastor, as the second year came around, and he forgot to put money out there. And he saw on his trash can the week after, he saw season's greetings, second notice. You know, we want to have good relationships, right, with everyone around us, certainly at Christmas time, certainly with from the trash collectors all the way up to the most powerful people. Even if we never meet them, we want to have good relationships, right? Especially if they serve us. And I was just thinking, how often do those who serve us really care about us? Because you can tell, right? Yeah, actually, I just remembered. I was dropping off the trash can and picking up the recycle bins. And it seemed like the young man who was picking that stuff up, he cared about us and he knew what he was doing and he was glad to be doing it. And some people do, and you can tell. We've been looking through Isaiah's visions of the future, and it's for salvation for the people of Israel, and it's coming. And last week we saw that though Israel had failed, though they had walked away from their mission to bless the world's peoples and invite them to the Lord, God didn't respond saying, okay, fine, here's plan B, we'll do this. God kept calling them back to be his people, and he kept calling them back to plan A. It's so amazing to see that. In the midst of Isaiah, where there's all this failure happening and exile's coming, and God is calling them back to plan A. It's just amazing. He really wanted them to be who he was calling them to be. There's a little hope for all of us there, right? Because we've all failed, and yet God is calling us back to plan A. We're going to be in Isaiah 42, so I welcome you to turn there with me. There's all these glimpses at the Messiah throughout Isaiah. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And I did not update that slide. That's all right, though. Isaiah 42, as soon as you have that, would you stand with me? Looking at the humble servant of justice, Isaiah foresaw. Isaiah 42. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word for its guidance, its wisdom, its revelation of you, we ask you to bless our hearts and our lives with these words. Lord, may your spirit speak to them, to us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 42. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been seeing these servant songs in Isaiah. He's calling out to Israel. Excuse me. And increasingly, the people, the you that starts off as y'all is plural, it starts getting swapped for the singular, you. Maybe this will help. So this y'all slowly turns more and more into a you, a singular. And we start to see things that, like last week, only one person could do. And only one Israel could do it for all of Israel. It's one person. And the people of Israel were catching on to this. So that hundreds of years later, when Jesus is born, people are looking for a Messiah. And spoiler alert, Jesus is the Messiah. People are looking for a Savior. They call him the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, one who can lead Israel, maybe into battle, but certainly to lead them as a people to shalom, to peace, to wholeness and healing and righteousness, justice. They're looking for a Messiah. He will be king. And I just want to point out here, I know we don't see the word king in our translation here, Isaiah 42, but this is all kingly language for the peoples of the ancient Near East, Palestine, and around them. This is what kings do. They establish justice, and they provide, and all these things. And so there are a couple things I want to focus on with you, and there is a sermon outlined there in the bulletin. And the first thing that kings do is they bring justice. Now, you know that because he says it three times in these four verses, verses 1, 3, and 4, justice. And this word is all over the New Testament, all over the Old Testament, the word justice. In the Hebrew, it's the word mishpat. Mishpat. And it's translated many ways because it covers so many things. And with God's justice, there's a whole lot involved. You can see some of the words that gets translated there. Like individual judgments are called mishpat, or ordinances, the things that people do to keep justice, and even customs. These are all parts of mishpat, of justice. Now, there can be no justice without law, or it's just an aristocracy. And an aristocracy is one person ruling instead of the court of law. Justice is important because as citizens, we need consistency. We need rules we can count on. We need to know what the right thing is so we can do the right thing. We can choose it ourselves, and then we can together build up society by doing the right things together and not living in a constant terror of, oh no, is this the right thing or is that? Did I do the right thing? I don't know. Maybe the law changed because it's not the law, it's the rule of one person. But justice isn't like that. It's a set of rules and rule by law. And then our righteousness gets rewarded and our injustices get condemned and judged. And so justice means also having a leadership that'll back up. You know, when the laws are broken, the leadership will step in and give justice and remove the perpetrators. And we need leaders who will spend their resources, their time, and other resources consistently to support what's fair so society can be fair. Now, sometimes justice happens without intervention. And I know you know this because we love these stories. And I brought one for you today. Two brothers in Girona, Spain, attempted to sell a fake painting by Francisco de Goya. They tried to sell it to a supposed sheik, you know, a guy with money from the Middle East. The sheik bought the painting from these brothers. They took the money, 1.7 million Swiss francs, this is in 2015. They took it to a Geneva bank account and went to deposit it and were told there in the bank that the money was photocopies. It was fake. They were quickly apprehended for trying to deposit fake money. And they were arrested, they were taken to prison. And then to add insult to injury, in order to secure this sheik, they had actually secured a middleman to help connect the two. And so they had actually paid the middleman themselves an $80,000 deposit on a $300,000 premium for a finder's fee. So while in jail, they owed the middleman another $220 million. These are actually euros, not dollars, but you can just imagine. It's pretty great when justice sort of works itself out, you know, and the fakers get faked out. And that's great. But that's not always the way that it happens, right? We do go through, all of us go through some kind of injustice. One of my least favorite is when my wife was involved in an accident and she ran into someone, but she got pushed into that someone. And there were six cars involved. It was a very dark and rainy night. And there was good witnesses, so you know everybody saw what happened. And and so afterward, we got notice, and you know Nicole had to go to a couple depositions. The thing lingered for like 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, her insurance company, our insurance company, paid 100% of the limit, which they could have done on day one. The real reason all that happened was she was the only one of the insurance company that was different from all the other drivers who were all in the same insurance company. So they all sort of teamed up on her to get the max payout that they possibly could. And so that little bit of injustice was difficult. You know, if they would have just paid it all out and not involved us for 2 or 3 years and the driving and travels and all this stuff, that would have felt unjust, but it would have been way better than what actually happened. So we all experience moments and times, even seasons of injustice in this life. And so we all have a sense that we need justice and how important it is for us to live in ways that are just. We need someone who can bring justice to us. And the sense of justice in our hearts is not just something that has been built up by a blind evolutionary process in us as humans as just fairness on steroids. I firmly maintain that justice is a sense in our hearts that was put in there by God who is just. And so it's sort of a question that can only be answered by God himself. We need justice. You look over history, it's hard to see the amounts of injustice. We need it. And thank God we have a God who cares about justice. Like I said, justice is all over the Old Testament. I'm going to share a few verses of it. Jesus quotes a similar passage of ours today. It's a different part of Isaiah. But he quotes it, in I think it's chapter 61, when he's talking about his own kingdom. He will bring justice in Luke 4, and he will bring light to the Gentiles and all that stuff. But justice comes up over and over with the Messiah. In chapter 42, where we're at today, there's a couple of examples. A little bit later, verse 7 talks about helping the needy. And so I like Deuteronomy 10:18, where Moses is telling us, this God of justice, this is what justice looks like. This is how you know God is just. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And word foreigner is an okay translation, but the thing is, if he's a foreigner living among us, the word immigrant is a little bit better word. And all over the Old Testament, we hear of God seeking out and helping the fatherless, the widow, and the immigrant, because those are usually the ones that are the easiest targets of criminals and the unjust, and even a society that's bent on manipulating and victimizing. And so that third one, immigrant, we might be surprised to see that one. Why is that one of the three? Well, Israel was an immigrant people. Many of the biggest names in the Old Testament were immigrants. We think of Abram and the patriarchs and Moses. God cares about the immigrant. And so he brings justice. So it's provision. God brings his provision in his justice. And the other thing he does is he protects against enemies. Israel had neighboring enemies. And my goodness, we live in a day and age where the modern state of Israel has enemies. We hear a lot about enemies in the Old Testament. In fact, a lot of songs of praise, the Psalms, we see David and other ones talking about enemies. Psalm 96:13, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Verse 4 tells us an important part of this. Part of God's justice is his law. And so we need to know his law, right? Not just the law of our land. We need to know God's law. And fortunately, we have his law. It's here. It's in the Bible. And we who are the New Testament people of God, we like to talk about the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 mentions the law of Christ because this is the law that Jesus lives. And one example of that, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Like last week, we see all the nations of the world from the continents to the islands awaiting for God's justice and his light, awaiting for his law to come. Psalm 82:8 says, "Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance." God is just. He calls his servants to justice. Since we humans are not perfect, even the good kings, even the good presidents and the good leaders that sometimes we put some hopes into, even they have not lived up to all the hype and all our hopes. And so this longing for justice and a just judge is fulfilled by one. We would be in despair if we did not know his name. If we did not know he was coming, we would live in despair. This one person, Jesus, is coming. The prophecy speaks of a righteous, just king, and the king is Jesus. Amen? He's the coming judge. He's the good, loving, just ruler for us. He went through the world as a human being, setting things right, fixing the broken. He didn't go right to the halls of power, looking to set them straight and then let them deal with everything else. He went to the people. He went to individuals who were hurting. He went to the lost and the lonely. He brought his gospel of grace. And then he built his kingdom. But he built his kingdom not off the backs of slaves and the downtrodden. He came to all, to invited others to help him build this kingdom, to be a part of it. Jesus is the chosen servant of justice. He's our just one. And so the second half of this, he's not only the servant of justice, but there's something else that is so important that Isaiah takes time to illustrate it. He comes as a humble servant. Jesus comes as a servant. Now this is obvious here. It's obvious in all the servant songs. In fact, they're called servant songs for this reason. Isaiah keeps hitting on this one thing. You know, there are some leaders who say, they're here to serve the people. You know, it's all about the people. You know, and you get a sense, well, it's kind of all about them, you know. But this coming Messiah is one who is humble. In verse 2, it talks about, it's kind of funny, he says he won't raise his voice. Well, obviously he's going to speak, right? But you know, in their day and age, they didn't have microphones. They didn't have the modern media. You usually had town criers that would say, hear ye, right? And they'd always be yes men. They're on the dole, right? They always talk about the deeds and the decrees of the king. And everybody listen up. You know, the king's coming through. You don't have a moment of silence. I learned through the passing of Queen Elizabeth that, you know, when the king or queen would come to a certain castle or a place, you know, they would ring bells in certain ways. And there's an appropriateness to that. But we all know some of the way it gets overdone, right? People tooting their own horn instead of letting their actions speak for themselves. And Isaiah just keeps hitting on this to show us that this man would be unlike all the other servants, all the other kings that we would come across. Speaking of one of those, a few years back, I heard the stories of, I think it was Kim Jong-un. I forget which one. I'm old enough now to know a couple of the Kim Jong, you know, guys in North Korea who always wanted to be seen as the beloved leader, right? And so even though his people would just be starving sometimes, he would find these PR moments. And I heard from a reporter talk about one of them because she was invited to come be a part of this one. And he came with his small entourage to this apartment complex, and he came to this one person's home, and he brought gifts and he brought food, and then they took pictures of him with these people, and you know, they were so happy and excited, and oh, the generous, loving, you know, our beloved leader, you know. And then he left, because he didn't go to all the other places in the apartment. He just went to one, he got his photo op, and then he left. And they didn't talk about how their neighbors also got blessed by this, because it didn't happen. They just got to speak about how wonderful and generous this wonderful good leader was. You know, and people can see through that. It's just nonsense. And sometimes we look at those extremes and we laugh and chuckle, but we're also, if we're wise, we're reminded that leaders just do some of that. You know, they play favorites. They're not always fair. But Jesus truly cared about everyone. The least of these. He went right for the least of these. He found the ones who were sick and hurting and who weren't in front and who weren't in the crowd. He went and found them. His short mission was only 3 years long, but because of the way he loved others, he's still on the cover of magazines and books 2,000 years later, even ones that aren't religious, because he's a part of the news. And yet we see, despite his loving care for others, Isaiah 53, we see the climax of the servant song. One of these days I'll preach this passage, hopefully soon, preach it again. Isaiah 53, 2 said, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. I'll just mention, how many people look younger now than when I was a kid? You know what I mean? It's funny how much people spend on their appearance, you know, and yet Jesus is the opposite of all of that. He's not tooting his own horn. And he walked that difficult road all the way to the cross, knowing what people would do to him. He served us to the end, humbly taking upon himself the worst death imaginable. We live in a culture now that heralds love in a totally different way. It's love is supposedly, you know, the number one virtue. You know, love is love, and love is the most important thing people say. And also, you do you. It's like there's no concern for anyone else. So supposedly we love, like that's the most important thing. But in the end, we're told to take care of ourselves, put ourselves first. You know, without a good definition of what love is, we're just fumbling anyways, right? And if we're not caring for, if we're not helping someone, truly helping them, then it's not actually love. It's just what people are doing for their own sake. That's the culture we're in. If we're not careful, even as Christians, we're tempted to fully take that on and fully, you know, love what's beneficial to ourselves, or love when it's comfortable for us, or love those who look like us and don't bother with the ones who don't. Jesus loved his enemies. He took care of himself, of course, but he took care of others, absolutely. And he reminded everyone that our neighbors aren't just in the households living to the left and right of us or above and beneath our floor. They're the ones that he brings into contact with us, who don't look like us, who don't have the same lifestyle as us. And when we love others as we love ourselves, Jesus' way of life helps all of us flourish together as a healthy community. As the church who loves with open doors, as his people. And God keeps bringing neighbors to us all the time so we can share the light. There's one story that so impressed me about loving others. Anthony Ray Hinton was wrongly imprisoned for 28 years for a murder he did not commit in the state of Alabama. And he was living in the shadow of death row for most of his years in prison. He often felt helpless, but his friend, Lester, his best friend since childhood, drove to visit him 8 hours each way, every single Friday, to visit him for just 1 hour. And so as Anthony cried out to God for justice, he also saw his friend every week. I got to tell you, my friend wouldn't have to tell me jokes every week, or have like some great eloquent manner about him, or even be the most encouraging person in the world. If I were there in jail, I think just having him there would mean so much. But Hinton didn't give up on justice either. He hoped he would be exonerated, but didn't know how to do it. And along came a Christian named Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative, who took up his case. Stevenson has been a fierce advocate for the underrepresented and wrongly accused for a long time, and he wrote about his work in a book called Equal Justice, Just Mercy. I saw the movie a year or so ago, and he worked for 15 years to free Hinton, and finally took his case all the way to the Supreme Court. And in February 2014, the Supreme Court unanimously exonerated Hinton's case by overturning it. And the state of Alabama dropped all charges, and he was released from prison just a little bit after that. And Hinton remained faithful as a Christian in his prayers and his cry for justice. And but you know, without a brother at his side and without a Christian fighting for his cause, he may never have had justice. And so I see in both of those people the humble service of the loving Messiah who cares so much about us. And now here we live, 700 years after these prophecies were given by Isaiah. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of those things. I said that wrong. Jesus came 700 years after the prophecies of Isaiah, and we live another 2,000 years after Jesus. And looking at our scripture, we see Jesus as the ultimate servant who humbly brings justice. Like, we read these things and we just see Jesus because we live on this side of what he came and did. And so this scripture can be applied for us in a few simple ways. Jesus is the humble servant. As he serves in love, he demonstrates for us that humbleness and service. So as we follow him, we can just serve others humbly. And we may not feel like healers or prison freers or whatever, justice bringers, but we can show kindness to our neighbors, our family members, our friends, strangers. We can help others against their enemies. Sometimes just asking, hey, what can I do? You know? Our chief enemies are sin, death, and the devil. We can help our friends against those things, right? Each one of those. I got a quote by, what's his name? Theodoret of Seir. It is Christ who has destroyed the power of death. It is he who has crushed the way of sin. It is he who has made the tyranny of the devil to cease. It is he who has put an end to the error of idols. And we can help the needy. We can get to know them and do what the Lord shows us to help them. God brings neighbors of all kinds into our lives all the time, every day, and he calls us to serve them. One of the best things we can do in the morning as we pray, we read our Bible, we can just ask God, Lord, how can I serve today? How can I be a light? And even if he just brings someone to mind you can pray for or call, God answers prayers. We can love others as he would love us, giving people the benefit of the doubt. We can forgive. We can help compassionate organizations. So many things we can do. If we are the people of Jesus, we are the body of Christ, a holy and righteous people, and God is equipping us to love them as the body. So consider with me, would you? How is Jesus bringing justice into the world right now? And each of us can ask, how can I be a part of that? And let's remember, you can't accomplish Jesus' things by the devil's means. And there are lots of people in this day and age that will ask you to join their cause. It's a really good cause. You just have to do this, or you just have to vote for this person. And it sounds pretty good, but then they ask you to do it by the devil's means. Never give in to that. God will only accomplish his things by his ways. Humility, justice, love. God will fulfill his promise to us and through us. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, it feels a little weird to talk about justice on the morning of Christmas Eve. Seems like justice is for a different time of the year, maybe. I don't know, but oh my goodness. You keep bringing it up in the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament when your angels come to Zechariah and to to Mary, Lord. They keep talking about justice because you care about it. So help us to care, Lord. Justice sometimes is this grandiose thing involving laws that are complex and we don't always understand it, but sometimes justice is just the right thing and it's just doing the right thing or helping someone else do the right thing. So help us, Lord. We can't do the right things without you. Help us. And Lord, as we bow our hearts right now, I just ask you to help each of us to hear from you. Lord, how can we help others? How can we be humble servants? How can we serve by your spirit of humility? There's needs. There are lots of needs. Show us. We ask. We love you so much. And we thank you. You are so good. These things we ask by the great name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.